Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the seventh installment, reading the book Tafsir of Juz Amma. We're in the section of two surahs, Surah 106 and Surah 105, Surah Al-Quraysh and Surah Al-Fil. And we'll be doing that reading today, inshallah. We'll open up the Fatiha. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لإلافي قريش إلافيهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع أمنهم من خلف Reading starts on page 53. Dila fi Quraysh Ila fi him rihlatashita yiwal sahif. The first two ayats. For the security of the Quraysh, their safety in the journey of the winter and summer. That is spiritual strength and the occurrence of its safeguarding and safety in the acquisition of noble virtues, and its concentrating its aspiration in moving towards perfection in the two journeys, the journey of the winter and the great distance of the sun of the spirit from their heads, and their turning to shelter in the cave of their bodies, in the ordering of their worldly affairs, and the rectification of their physical existence and providing for its needs. And two, the journey of the summer and the proximity of the sun to their heads, and the ascension to the domain of holy purity and to the spirit of certitude. Ruhul al-Yakin. Falya budu rabahadar bayit. The third ayat. That they may worship the sustaining Lord of this temple house. Worshipping him by submitting to his unity and making their service solely for him and turning to him wholeheartedly after coming to know him. Alladhi at'amahum. The fourth ayat, the one who fed them. The food of the meanings of certitude, yakin, and the sciences of the truth, the hakika, and the realities of the Godhead. Mijui. Fourth ayat, from hunger. This refers to the need of the primordial predisposition for its fulfillment in its early state of simple ignorance. Wa manahum min kalf. Fourth ayat, and who made them safe from fear of danger. Which refers to the power of the lower self conquering them, kidnapping their spirits and preventing them from true yielding and submission and striving to ruin their dwellings. He granted them security from the great fear of traveling. So Allah lifted that from them by His grace. And by virtue of this supplication of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he asked, O Lord, make this land safe. Quran 2:126. And which refers to Mecca, the birth city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And note that just as Allah granted security to the people of His house, He similarly granted security to the people of His name who are connected to Him, Nisba. So you will not find a divested fakir without being secure wherever he goes. You will find others besides them who leave from his abode having their state vanquished, losing the good of this world and the next, and that is the great loss. But as for the people of his abode connected to him, they are safe with no hardship touching them or evil because of their being the people of his presence and sanctuary. He feeds them wherever they go, so the table of Allah is always set for them. Wherever they turn, hunger and fear do not touch them. Surah Al-Fil. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tafdil wa arsala alayhim tayran ababil tarmihim bihi jarati min sijil فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَالسَّفِي مَكْمُكُولٍ Surah Tafil, the 105th Surah, 5 ayats. It was revealed in Mecca and consists of 5 verses. It serves as a warning and a chastisement for those who slander and find fault in others, and that Allah will treat them in this world like He dealt with the people of the elephant, Ashab al-Fil, if they do not desist from their ways. And Allah speaks to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and by extension everyone who hears it, and says in it, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi Ashab al-Fil. Have you not seen or considered how your Lord dealt with the people, the army of the elephant? Meaning, do you not know, with the knowledge that necessarily follows from directly witnessing and beholding an event, from hearing the mass transmitted accounts, and seeing the plain evidences before you, the manner in which He, Most High, dealt with them? And he also employed this specific wording, Alam Tara, to show how awesome this event was and to bring to the reader's attention the extraordinary and awful treatment dealt to them, pointing by that to his great power and complete knowledge and wisdom, and to the nobility and honor of the household of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For this even occurred in the year he was born. And the details of that event are as follows. Abraha ibn al-Sabah al-Ashram, the king of Yemen at that time, erected a temple in Sana'a, which he named al-Kalis. He wanted the pilgrims going to Mecca to instead go to this temple he built. In a symbol of defiance, one of the Arabs came to that temple in the night and relieved himself and placed filth and carcasses in it. So Abraha became angry over this and swore he would demolish the Kaaba. So he left Yemen with 12 elephants. When he came near Mecca, Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet, came out to meet him and offered him a third of the wealth of Makkah for his return to Yemen and leaving the Kaaba safe. But he rejected the offer and marched his army toward the Kaaba, with a large elephant leading them. So a man of Makkah said to the leading elephant of the army, whose name was Mahmud, "Sit, for you are in the sanctuary of Allah, and return from whence you came." So the elephant sat down. And every time they would face it to the sanctuary, the haram, the elephant would sit, refuse to move. And when they would face it in any other direction besides the Kaaba, such as Yemen, it would rush. So Allah sent a canopy of birds, which came from the sea, with each bird carrying a small stone the size of a lentil, or smaller than a chickpea in its beak and its talons, and the stone would fall on the head of someone and exit from his back. And every stone was inscribed with the name of its victim. So the soldiers fled in every which way and were destroyed. Abraha was also struck, and his fingers and limbs fell off to the point that his heart was separated from his chest. His minister fled with a bird following him until he came to King Najashi in Ethiopia and told him what was happening. When he finished telling him, the bird threw the stone at him and he died between the hands of Najashi. It's also narrated that Abraha took 200 camels belonging to Abdul Muttalib. And when he saw Abdul Muttalib coming to him, he was awed by him, by his handsome face and body. And it was said to Abraha, "This is a Sayyid of Makkah and the owner of the camels who feeds the poor people." So Abraha came to him and said, "Do you have any need?" And he responded, "That you return my camels." So Abraha said, "You have fallen from my eyes because I came to destroy your Kaaba, which is the symbol of your religion and your honor from ancient days, and you do not even address me in regards to it, and your camels take more importance in your eyes." So Abdul Muttalib responded, "I am the owner of the camels and their Rabb. As for the Kaaba, it has its own Rabb who protects it." So Abraha said, "And who is this Rabb, this Lord of the house, that can protect it against me?" To which Abdul Muttalib responds, "And who are you compared to this house?" Then Abdul Muttalib came to the Kaaba with some people and held its knob, and they proceeded to call on Allah. So while he was supplicating a dua, he turned around and saw a bird coming from the direction of Yemen. And he thought to himself, "A strange bird indeed." And then what happened happened. And Allah said, "Alam yaj'al kaidahum fi tadlil." Did he not utterly confound their artful planning? Explaining in summary what Allah did to them when he fouled their plans to demolish the Kaaba and destroyed them instead. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرَانَ أَبَابِيلَ. And he let loose upon them great swarms of flying creatures. The third ayah. Meaning they come in small numbers, few by few, and they are black-colored marine birds. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِهِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَّأْكُولٍ. Casting them with stones of baked clay, causing them to become like a field of grain eaten down to stubble. So they were struck with humiliation, defeat, and destruction. And know that whoever recites in the first cycle of the morning prayer, Surat al-Inshira, and in the second cycle, Surat al-Fil, the hands of enemies will not reach him, and Allah will protect him from their evil and not make a way for them to harm him or reach him with their evil. And this is without a doubt true and tested. And know that the heart of the knower by Allah, Ar-Arif Billah, is the Kaaba of existence and the house of the Lord, and the armies of incoming thoughts and suggestions and whisperings seeks its demolishment. So Allah safeguards it from them as he safeguarded his house from Abraha. So it is said, do you not see, O listener, how Allah dealt with the people of the elephant? And they are the animal-like people and those with low thoughts. Did he not foil their plans and send upon them the birds of divine inspirations, so that they cast upon them the stones of invocation, which withered them away and left them wasted and hollow? And know also that the story of the elephant in this surah is one of the signs of the power of Allah, and a mark of his wrath sent to those who arrogantly strive against him and his holy sanctuaries. And the inspiration provided to birds and beasts is truer compared to the inspiration which the human receives, because they lack a rational intellect. And Allah placed in stones a special quality which cannot be denied, and whomever Allah allows to behold the domain of the power, the Qudra, and unveils to him the veil of wisdom, hikmah, then such a one knows how to be a Muslim, the submitter, and a mu'min, believer, in this power, and upholds the proper courtesy, adab, with Allah and his houses. And many in the past and in the present are they who are insolent against Allah and his creation, become arrogant and take on the existence of Abraha and themselves. In their despicable selves, they seek to destroy or control the Kaaba of the heart, as many today do. And the heart is the house of Allah in reality. They seek to divert pilgrims from spiritual strength to the physical strength of the lower nature. But Allah sent them his armies of egoistic strength and its dark attributes natural to it, such as unbridled anger and lust and so on. And the elephant of the shaitan of illusion fought with the armies of the intellect in battle. And the form which the shaitan takes most often is the form of the elephant, as the companion Mu'ad saw him during the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for this reason, he said, the shaitan places his trunk upon the heart of the son of Adam, and if he invokes Allah, then he withdraws it. Know that Allah, Most High, ruined their plans and sent the birds of invocation and meditative reflection on them, white and bright with the light of the Ruh, the Spirit. They cast upon them stones of baked clay, with each stone having the name of its victim inscribed by the pen of the Sharia, the sacred law and intellect. So he destroyed them, made their bodies wither away with no power of volition or movement in them, like an empty field of stubble, whose vegetative growth has halted because of the sapping of its strength by spiritual exercises, because of its lack of capacity to receive understanding from Allah. Because it became insolent against him, he caused it to taste what it acquired. That brings us to the end of this reading. We'll close the Fatiha and then we'll sign off. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Rahman Rahim Malik Yawm Adin Iyak Nabudu Iyak Nasta'in Hedina Sirat Al-Mustaqim Sirat Al-Dina Anhamd Alayhim Ghayril Maghdub Alayhim Ul-Dolin Amin Amin Sadaqallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.